Thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Takes are hot, and the coffee's even hotter.
Hot coffee?
The Vicki Plyler Show is live on the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Yes, I understand that every life must end, As we sit alone, I know someday we must go. Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love. Some folks just have one, yeah, others they got none. Stay with me. Just breathe.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hour number two. Got a busy hour for you. Josh Williams is going to talk some national championship game. He's also going to talk Clemson-Miami basketball, which we did in the first hour at 7:25 this morning. 7:45, we'll get our ReedyLanco.com hunting and fish report. Jonathan will join us. And at 8:05, Big Dog Roy Philpott, ESPN, play-by-play voice, is going to join us. A lot of things to do with the Patterson's Tax Service. The standard deduction stuff has moved up. Don't standard deduct, man. There's ways you can save money. Let them talk to you about estate tax credits, adoption tax credits, child care tax credits, getting your kid registered. If you have a young child, you can get this 4547 form and get their savings account started. The government's going to give you money there. So much more, like with when you bought your car and electric cars, and when you bought your gas cars, and the dates of those things are big. Tips, obviously, and overtime. There's a bunch in there this year. And let these folks take care of you with the Patterson's Tax Service. We'll be doing taxes. They're doing those today. They're filing them a week from Monday, the first day to file, getting in front of the line. 864-859-8289. So I want to get into the NFL playoffs in this segment. We have four games. We have two tomorrow. We have two on Sunday. I want to get into that. Talk a little bit about the Gamecocks. They added one and lost one in the portal. You feel like sometimes the portal, like they added Caleb Herring and they lost Desmond Isazulu. But it feels like both those guys like similar size. Their stats were very, very similar. Their experience, like both of them would be seniors. Both of them had like 14 tackles last year. Both of them had like four tackles for loss and two sacks. Like it feels like we're just almost making a trade. Like we're going to trade this kind of guy for that kind of guy. And
yeah, oftentimes you are cycling like for like in a lot of cases.
Right.
Out of necessity, though. I mean, you have to maintain your production. Yeah,
that's right. That's exactly right. So what happened there is like what Tennessee fans will tell you, man, Herring's not that great. He's good, but not great. And when Imazulu goes somewhere, they'll get excited about him. And the Carolina fans will go, well, he's good. He's just not that great. Yeah, it's the same thing, man. Just kind of recycling that. Let me get Nick before we talk some NFL playoffs. Hey, good morning, Nick. Thanks for calling in on Friday, man. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. So I've got a way to kind of solve this betting issue.
All right.
We have.
All right.
All right, there's going to be a three-part series to it. First is you take them, once you find out they've been betting, you take them to a pitching lab, and you turn the pitching machine all the way to the maximum, and you let them get hit by the ball right in the middle region.
Okay, all right, I like that one. Yeah.
Second is all their NIL money they have to pay back that they've been getting.
Right.
And if they're
I like that.
And the scholarship money they have to pay it all back to the school.
I like that as
and
well.
And third, they're banned for life from the sport.
You know, Nick, you're talking deterrence here. That's crazy. that we'd actually deter future guys from doing things like this. Yes, yes. And let's do this. Let's make an announcement of it, and let's make examples of these guys. So if you're willing to go get hit by baseballs at the pitching lab, if you're willing to give up all your NIL money, and if you're willing to be banned for life, then, yeah, go ahead and take your $10,000 from your local bookie to see if he can throw a game for you. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Man, that's a novel idea to actually have deterrence. I'm with you, man.
And for the Clemson-Miami game, I think Clemson will have enough to do it just with their depth, but it'll be a close kind of like the SMU game. It'll be about a five-point game.
Yeah.
Pretty close, and we'll just have to see if they can hold up to the end.
I'm hopeful Little John will be a factor tomorrow. It was not – we went through a Tuesday night. It wasn't a factor. I'm hopeful a Saturday. It's cold. You're not going to be able to do anything else. Like, let's get out. Let's support this team. Students come out and do it. Like, I'm looking forward to maybe Little John being a factor.
Well, it's a 2 o'clock game, so they should be up in time, and it's not late, so they should be able to.
If you're not up in time for this one, yeah. You have to go to bed early night for this one. That's a good point, Nick. Good stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Yeah, this is it's not too – like, if it's at 4, it might be, getting them away. Am I going out on Saturday night? No. If it's at noon, it's a nooner. I can't wake up that early. No, 2 is about the perfect time. So you got nothing else to do. Come out and do that for sure. Sam, by the way, I love this one. 9866 says, Mickey L, you big thank you for the Lucas Nelson recommendation. Great stuff. Sam, I don't give you too much musical advice. You like me. You're an eclectic music guy. You like all kinds of music.
I would think so, yeah. I jump around a little bit.
I'm stuck on Lucas Nelson right now. And he's got a song called Pretty Much that I'm in the grocery store last night. My kid wanted, Drake wanted, and we didn't end up doing it, wanted to make a pizza cookie, pizza thing. A big round, like a cake, what do you call those? Cookie cakes. And we didn't get around to doing it just because it got late. But went to the grocery store, I had my headphones on, and I'm rocking out to Lucas Nelson. Not a care in the world, man. Just oblivious to everything else around me. Me and Lucas Nelson shopping for groceries last night. So I appreciate that, 9866. All right, let me talk some NFL. Josh Williams is going to join us in about 15 minutes. This weekend, we have 4 games. Let's quickly, if we can, go over these. 4:30 CBS tomorrow. 12-5 Bills, 14-3 Broncos from Mile High in Denver. Denver, a 1.5-point favorite. Sam, give me an initial thought. I'm going to look up weather for all these as well. But this is coming off of the bye and the rest, and the Bills got the very emotional win on the road, going back on the road. A little different weather this time around.
Yeah.
But a little different altitude this time around.
Yeah, the weather not going to be a problem for this game. The altitude always a problem for teams that aren't adjusted to it. I just don't think that matters for Josh Allen, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is Buffalo. Buffalo won't worry about weather.
I really think this game comes down to, and this is going to sound like, I'm going to sound like a broken record for 3 or 4 of these teams, this game comes down to Bo Nix, right? Yeah. If Bo Nix elevates his play and is able to dissect the Bills' defense, which had a really, really good plan for Trevor Lawrence and made him uncomfortable, they will win the game. They have a really talented roster, as talented as any team in football. They've got a great defense. They've got talent on the offense, on the weaponry side of things. If Bo Nix plays really good football, which he did at times this year, Denver will win. That's what their strategy, or that's what their path is. But if they go down in this game and have to come back, I don't love their odds. At the end of the day, the best player left in the playoffs is Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And he's the best quarterback left as well. And it feels to me like he is primed to put the team on his back and go on some chaotic run here on his own, which is why I lean Buffalo. But the altitude, playing in Mile High in January, it's going to be loud. And Denver's well coached, makes it a difficult game for anybody. I think Buffalo is equipped to get a Superman game out of Allen, and I think they win.
Okay. Can I just talk you out of that a little? Or can you at least consider this?
I will always consider the other side.
Denver, the second best team in yards allowed defensively. Denver had 11 more sacks than anybody else. They pressured the passer like nobody's business. That Josh Allen, who is a great athlete who could run for his life, he might be running for his life. That Denver unleashes a pass rush and neutralizes Josh Allen, and the home field advantage is a factor.
I don't think you can neutralize Josh Allen.
Okay.
I don't think you can neutralize him. He's played in this weather before. He played in college. He plays
and it's not bad weather, by the way. It's 30. No. It's going to be in the mid-30s. No, That's not bad.
He's played in altitude before as well. So, right. I mean, I just don't think Allen is stoppable.
Okay.
To be honest with you.
Seattle, a quick look at their weather for the game time temperatures, mid-40s. Tomorrow, let me make sure I remember saying this. You've got, yeah, not much wind. No factor weather-wise. The 12-5 Niners, the 14-3 Seahawks. This was a better rivalry whenever it was Harbaugh versus Carroll. But a great one anyway from Lumen Field in Seattle. And the Seahawks, a 7-point favorite. And I guess the news there is that from an injury standpoint, Sam Darnold appears to be a go. And
he's going to play.
He's going to play.
He better play.
Yeah. But Seattle, a little surprised at 7.
I don't love 7. I don't love that number. That's a lot. It's not a scientific strategy, and I told Guac this yesterday, but I generally pick the team that lost this game last time to win it between when San Francisco and Seattle play each other. It's a very back-and-forth rivalry. There aren't many blowouts in it. San Francisco's been a bugaboo for Seattle at times in the playoffs, or at least in the regular season. Seattle's got them in the playoffs a few times. I think back to Sherman and Crabtree over a decade ago now, I think. Seattle's a better team. They're healthier. They're deeper. But Kyle Shanahan is a difference maker for San Francisco. There are going to be points on the board for them. Can they get Brock Purdy protection? They didn't have Trent Williams in Week 18, and they scored 3 points. Can they protect Purdy in this game with the offensive line a little bit healthier? Can they get pressure on Darnold and turn him into a pumpkin? We've seen the Rams give Darnold some trouble this year. We've seen Darnold regress a little bit down the stretch. I'm not very confident in him, but I am confident in the rest of Seattle's roster, and the home field advantage at Lumen I think is enough for them to win.
Now,
but not by. I don't think they're going to win by over a touchdown. I think that's going to be a close game.
Weather more of a factor in our two games on Sunday. 3 o'clock ESPN, 12-5 Texans, 14-3 Patriots from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. New England a 3-point favorite here. A 50% chance of some snow showers. Only 35 degrees though, and no wind. So really, it's hard to say this where snow is not a huge factor. I don't think we're talking about less than an inch. It's not going to be a bad weather day.
I think it'll be fine.
And with that said, again, now both these defenses, what the Patriots did last week, these defenses are phenomenal. So over under this is 40.5. That's the lowest by far of the game. This is the most defensive game. And two young quarterbacks. To me, this might be the most fascinating of the games.
Yeah, this one's good. This is one where I could see it going very easily in either direction. I'm pretty confident that Drake May can handle Houston's defense as well as just about anybody probably could. But at the same time, second-year quarterback, playoff environment, even though it's at home, against the clear, I mean, obvious number one defense in the NFL, two elite pass rushers. How do you guard Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson? You don't. There's no stopping that. They have a rookie tackle on an island with one of them. It's going to be a test. They're going to throw a lot of different looks at him defensively. They're not going to do anything fancy, but they're going to throw every type of coverage they can and see if they can force a turnover or two. I don't think Houston's offense is good enough to keep up if this gets above 20, 24 points.
Yeah.
So I lean New England.
I agree.
But if they can make it a rock fight, which the Chargers did last week and just couldn't get Justin Herbert going or get him any protection in the second half. He was bad in the first half. No reason why Houston can't win. But if it gets above 20, I think it's going to be New England. This is a game I'm very excited for. Very fun to see how May's probably going to win MVP or come second. Very interested to see how he handles Houston.
Yeah. That defense, man.
It's awesome.
Their defense is offensive. We saw it last week.
They tackle. They just tackle. I mean, they don't miss tackles.
Sam, should I be – I feel like that I'm a little bit of a what I'm looking for. Let me put it out there. I can't find the word I'm looking for. Should I be this excited about the weather in Chicago? 6:30 on NBC, 12-5 Rams,
you're
11-6 Bears.
Maybe by the weather situation.
No, I'm saying like this. I want it to be worse than it is too.
Oh. You want a snow game?
I want to see like weather like this impossible.
You're hopeful that it's a nightmare game?
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to see what that looks like, but I don't think we're going to. I think it's just going to be really, really cold.
Here we go, all right? Here's the weather Sunday night in Chicago. The high is 19, the low is 3. The snow showers develop in the afternoon. And winds during the day at 10 to 20. At night, the winds at 20 to 30 with gusts over 40. The low is going to be 3. Game time temperatures, wind chill at 2 degrees.
You ever been to Soldier Field in the winter?
No.
I'll tell you.
No.
It is one of the coldest environments I have ever been in. And I've been to just about every northern state. I mean, they get you can't touch like a Wisconsin or like Michigan winter, like northern states like that, but it's about as close as you can get.
I'll think about this for a second. There's three weather factors in sports: rain or snow, temperature, and wind. And you're gonna get all three in one game
for a Los Angeles team on the road.
Yes, that's why they're the better team. I think they're not going into Chicago into Soldier Field and winning with a 2.8 degree wind chill factor. It's not going to happen.
I've wrestled back and forth with this one because there's nothing that stands out statistically about Chicago that would put them
except
in a position
except for their comeback
like
factor. Like they're gutsy. They do make unbelievable comebacks. Yeah, statistically, no.
You can't measure that though.
Right.
And
it's
a thought of like at some point it has to end. Right. Someone's got to get them. Sean McVay coached a team with Matthew Stafford at quarterback.
Yeah.
And a good defense, or at least a defense that's been good at times this year, feels like the team that would do that. But the Bears don't really follow conventional logic or wisdom, and that is probably the single best crowd advantage that you're going to find in the NFL in a situation like this.
I'll give you that.
It's going to be miserable.
Yeah.
It's going to be frigid. It's going to be loud. And it's going to be a sense of, if you let them hang around, they'll do what they do every single time this year. They will find themselves in a situation with 2 minutes left, down 4 points, and they will have the football.
Two quick things. Sadistic was the word I was looking for.
Yeah. I'm
sadistic.
Twisted
that
sadistically.
Yes, that I
want to
see.
Cold.
I want to see it negative wind chill, man. I want to see it 40-mile-an-hour winds and snow and guys slipping around. I don't see that.
Ice bowl.
Right. But let me give you this. I think that all four road teams have a chance this weekend because outside the Broncos are 8-1 at home. The Seahawks are 6-2. Patriots 6-3. Bears 6-2. Okay. But the road teams, all four of the road teams have winning records on the road.
Yeah.
So I think you can see some road teams winning.
It's not like any of these home teams are dominant.
That's
There's
what
no
I'm saying.
I mean,
right.
Seattle's a 14-win team, but they're not like some juggernaut.
Right.
The quarterback is Sam Darnold.
That's right. Short break. Josh Williams talking national championship college football game and Clemson-Miami basketball game right after this.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation, so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7, so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at quo.com/sports. That's quo.com/sports to try Quo free. quo.com/sports.
Bojangles just launched the new breakfast bowl. But hurry, the hearty combination of sausage, gravy, eggs, and bow rounds is here for a limited time. It's bow time.
ATV Outfitters, they stock more ATVs, UTVs, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. They have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand, and they pride themselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Spend $75 or more and mention the Roar FM and receive either a cargo net, fender bag, or tow rope free of charge. Don't buy elsewhere, or you'll both lose money. Come by ATV Outfitters, located at 2485 Rutherford Road in Greenville.
Have you ever wondered if you need an estate plan? David Green hears that question daily, and the answer is always yes. Let David and his team guide you through the process of creating a personalized estate plan to protect your legacy for your family. Today is the day to make that happen. Don't wait another day. Call David Green at 271-7940, that's 271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal to start securing your legacy today.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Kraft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating vented gas logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Kraft Stove Store and Patio, located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylor's.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from AMPM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to AMPM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos and Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
We don't whisper opinions. We deliver them at full volume.
They do not know how to whisper.
105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Love our friends at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. I want to tell you that there's several things. Let them come in and inspect your furnace. Let's don't mess around with this thing because this is something that you need to worry about. Carbon monoxide is a silent killer. You can't smell it. You can't see it. You can't taste it. But a faulty gas furnace can leak in your home. And that's why you need to get these things inspected from time to time. That's what Blue Ridge Heating and Air really matters. An Armstrong Air preferred dealer. Certified technicians, they're going to come in and check for those hidden dangers. A cracked heat exchanger or blocked vents before they turn serious for year-round peace of mind and efficiency. Get with Blue Ridge Heating and Air and their comfort maintenance team. Their comfort maintenance team is going to be at my house a week from Monday because I've signed up for it. They're going to come in and do some preventive maintenance on my unit. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, engineered comfort solutions. Love my friends. Check them out online, BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. What Ben and Chris and this team they put together really is impressive. And air quality is awfully important to them. And let them talk to you about improving the quality of air inside your home. And especially, say, I'm going to look at it right now, and it's 20 degrees. Yeah. Might want to call Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Get in touch with those good folks. To our guest lines, Josh Williams joins us. Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. Let me save the national championship game because I have a lot of thoughts about that. First, let me talk a little quick Clemson basketball. Clemson in Miami tomorrow. Tigers and Miami combining to go 30-5 on the season and 9-0 in the ACC. Now, Miami hadn't played a whole lot of great – or had to have a great win yet so far this season. Some thoughts about what's going to happen in Little John tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, big game tomorrow. You know, KenPom has this as a 4-point Clemson margin. I think that usually the opening line kind of mirrors that, but I think that's probably a little bit high. They both played at Notre Dame in the last week. You know, Clemson was a 3.5-point favorite, Miami a 4.5. A couple of common non-conference opponents there in Georgetown and BYU. Miami beat Georgetown by 10. Obviously, Clemson, that was one of their losses there, a loss by 5 there. Obviously, they both lost to BYU, Miami by 10, Clemson there at the buzzer by 3. New coach, Jay Lucas, who came over from Duke. So a lot of changes from last couple of years. They're running a little bit quicker tempo. A lot of dribble penetration, getting out in transition, so they shoot a very high percentage from 2. Just outside the top 10 in the country in two-point percentage, so big deal protecting the paint and protecting the rim there. They don't take a ton of threes, but they shoot lower, 34%, was actually a little bit better than Clemson. So not a high-volume three-point shooting team there, but you know, if it is a close game, they are a pretty poor free-throw shooting team, just over 68%, which almost puts them, you know, near 300. But basically, you know, the starting lineup there, you know, you got 4 transfers around a freshman. You know, the leading scorer, Renault, you know, 20-7 from Indiana, comes over. You know, the point guard, Donaldson, you know, he's a Michigan transfer. He's 17-7. The one freshman there, Shelton Henderson, you know, about 13.5 points per game. He's a slasher and driver, not much of a jump shooter, but he was a Duke commit. He came over with Jay Lucas from Duke. And then the two others, True Washington, they're about 13 points per game. He plays the 2. He's from New Mexico. And then the big man down the side, former by way of Kansas and TCU, Uday there, who's 7 points and 10 rebounds. So a pretty good balanced group there, really good defensively. They're also they're top 40 in defense, close to the top 20. You know, looks like one of those grinding slugfests. But I think if you can limit Miami's transition opportunities and make them play in the half court, you know, them not being a great jump shooting team, I got to think that's the recipe for success there for Clemson.
All right. I've been jumping Indiana all week long and praise Indiana like they're the 85 Bears and this is the greatest team ever assembled kind of a deal. I'll start out with another side of the question. It is within the realm of possibility that if Miami plays extremely well and can control the clock and home field advantage, maybe. I mean, are there avenues for Miami to win this game Monday night?
Yeah, sure. You know, speaking of home field advantage, I mean, what do you think the crowd split's going to be?
60-40 Indiana.
More Indiana people.
Yep.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Well, let me ask you this. When we talked last week before the Indiana semifinal game, that look-ahead line was 5.5.
Yep.
You know, now we're sitting here at 8.5, and you've got, you know, basically, you know, one-way action there on Indiana, 3-1 tickets, 4-1 money. And I'll pose this to you and see if you change my opinion. You know, is that number too high? I mean, they both played Ohio State in the month of December. If you look at that line comparison, Indiana closed as a 3.5-point underdog. They won the game 13-10. You know, Ohio State did have the ball inside the 10-yard line twice and got 0 points. So it may be a little fortunate to win. You know, a couple weeks ago, Miami took money throughout the week. That line closed 7.5, and obviously they won by double digits and really kind of controlled the game. So if you look at that, that's a 4-point difference. Obviously, Indiana's been upgraded by how they've played, but you got to think Miami's been upgraded some too. So is it that the market has just been late in catching up and pricing Indiana as kind of the clear-cut best team, or is it inflated? I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit of LSU 2019, where that the market couldn't catch up to how bad they were beating teams there, particularly in the back half of the year. But, you know, in that one, they did the sharp money did fade LSU in that national championship game, moving that line multiple points toward Clemson, but obviously we know how that worked out. So, yeah, my question to you, is that number too high based on what we've seen from these two in the playoff?
Maybe. I think the original number is probably pretty good. But 56-22 against Oregon obviously influenced that number. With that said, I don't anticipate Miami giving up a pick six, and Indiana having a three-play, three-yard touchdown drive, a six-play, 19-yard touchdown drive, and a three-play, four-yard touchdown drive. If they do that, it'll be worse. I put it this way. I think Oregon is better than Miami, or as good as Miami. The problem is that Oregon played their worst game of the year and turned it over. Outside of that, I mean, Oregon outgained Indiana. Oregon had more first downs than Indiana. They had more yards than Indiana. But those four major mistakes were influential with that. That being said, here's why, in my opinion, and you can talk me off this, maybe. No, you can't. Indiana's not going to make mistakes. They have three penalties a game for 26 yards a game. They've had eight turnovers on the season. They don't lose fumbles. Mendoza has more touchdowns than incompletions. They're just not. Miami's got to play perfect to beat them, and I don't think that Beck and Miami, a heavily penalized team, a team that can turn it over at times, I don't think they're going to play perfect. I think that Indiana is so technically sound that it takes an extremely high, efficient game that I'm not sure Miami's capable of playing.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And then, you know, the old adage, styles make fights. And yes. I just think that the stylistic way that Miami wants to play and kind of turning this game into a rock fight will kind of suppress the scoring where that's too many points. I don't disagree that Indiana will likely win the game. But, yeah, hitting on two things there, you talked about penalties. We know Indiana, one of the lowest penalties in the country, like you said, Miami. While they played really clean the first two playoff games, total of four penalties, zero against Ohio State. They had 10 in the semi. So, obviously, that can't happen. And you mentioned turnovers. You know, Indiana, best turnover margin in the country. Yeah, Beck much more likely to turn the ball over than Mendoza. But, you know, Indiana's only had to throw the ball 36 times in two games.
Yeah.
Miami's got to make that go up. They've got to, you know, they've run the ball 90 times. They've got to slow that down to where Mendoza has to make some throws because, I mean, it's not like he's throwing to wide-open guys all the time. He's making pinpoint accurate throws in tight windows.
I said this, and this is a crazy thing, but I said this on the show this week, that if you're Oregon's defensive back coach, you gave up 56 points and you're telling your secondary after the game, guys, I thought we played great. The coverage was blanketing. I mean, they were all over the guys. I thought Oregon's defense – actually played well and gave up 56. Now, they were 28 of those were, undefendable kind of a deals with the field position, the pick six. But I thought I think Oregon's defense is better than Miami's. But you just can't give them short fields.
Yeah, you can't give them short fields. Heatherman, you know, he worked for Cignetti for 3 years at James Madison, so there's some familiarity there. Yeah, they kind of just got to – Miami's got to look at that blueprint from, like, Iowa and Ohio State games that turned that into a rock fight and made it close there. You know, Iowa had 12 pressures and 2 sacks. Ohio State, 13 pressures and 3 sacks. You think Miami's front is probably a little bit better than those two. So, to me, if you pinpoint a weakness on Indiana's offensive line, it's the right side, particularly right tackle. So, you know, Mezador there, you know, maybe even you rush some with Bain and Mezador on the same side. But – to me, the whole key, the whole thing is Miami's offense. Can they generate any explosives? I mean, it just seemed the way they play and the way they did against Ole Miss with all those 13, 14, 15 play drives, it is unlikely they'll be able to consistently grind out those methodical drives and produce touchdowns against Indiana's defense.
My listeners are tired of me saying this, but here's the fascinating part of Indiana. Number one is offensively, they don't do anything schematically that's like some sort of gimmick. Like, they don't run anything different than anybody else runs. They just run it to perfection. They execute the blocking, the pounding of the running game between the tackles, the precision of the passing game, the route running, all that's unbelievable. With that said, on defense, Haynes does a little more exotic stuff, but for the most part, like, the front four gets pressure without sending extra guys off, and I'd wonder what their blitz percentage is. And then the front seven takes care of the run game. This looks like some of the old Saban stuff and Kirby stuff, and the safeties never have to come down in the box, and therefore they don't give up very big plays, and they tackle extremely well. So, like, what do you do? I think that Miami has to run the ball, and I think Miami has to stop the run, because if Indiana outrushes Miami in this game, then it won't be close again.
Yeah, I would agree. Miami is going to – I mean, I think Miami's offensive line can neutralize what the front four can do from a pass rush perspective, but they get in passing downs, and, you know, Indiana does some of their – you know, simulated pressures and zone pressures, and, you know, that can kind of throw things out of whack. But, yeah, if they're able to run the ball, and then that can maybe hit a couple. I mean, if you think back to that last game, how many times did he miss Tony or Daniels or whoever that was behind the defense and had a chance for a big play or a touchdown and didn't make it? I mean, he's basically made his hay all year between 0 and 10 yards throwing the ball. And if you – with that zone defense and those windows kind of compressed, that's a hard way to go if you're going to have to consistently try to drive the field with 10-plus play drives.
There's only three and so you got to stay on your mark there. You can't get behind the chains there. That's where they really get you. There's only four teams that stopped the run this year against Indiana. Penn State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State all kind of stopped the run. But Alabama couldn't stop the run, and Oregon couldn't stop the run. So I'm not sure Miami can. But if you stop the run, then you force Mendoza. It all starts with the run game. In the playoffs, at least, it started with the run game because, like you said, they're not having to throw it a whole lot. But if you can stop the run game somehow, some way, that's what Illinois couldn't do. I mean, Indiana ran it for 312 yards. They outrushed it 312-2. Like, that can't happen. That's going to happen that way. But and we all know Alabama couldn't run the football. But even, you know, in this past game, Indiana outrushed Oregon 185-93. If Indiana outrushes Miami this game, you can go to bed early. It's not going to happen that way. So, we still like, is it 8.5 now? Is it up to 8.5?
8.5, yeah. I'm interested to see. I think there'll be a little bit of Miami money show as we get closer, and that comes down a little bit.
Yeah. One other deal there. You asked about the crowd. There was 70% Rose Bowl crowd was Indiana. 90% of the Peach Bowl crowd was Indiana. This is a home game for Miami. But I'm not sure how motivated Miami fans are to pay $3,000 per ticket to get in, whereas Indiana fans are very motivated to do that. So
The thing, Peach Bowl, it looked like the only green in the stadium was on the field, was the turf.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all red.
Yeah. Amazing run for sure. Miami, perfect game. Let's let Miami play perfect game and get the game in the fourth quarter somehow, some way. If not, like I said, we'll be going to bed. It won't be TCU and Georgia, but it could be maybe what we're seeing from national championship games, a lot of those, you know, double-digit score games maybe.
So you're saying they'll be calling him Kurt Cignatti after Monday night.
Cignatti. I like it. He's not going to the Raiders or anything, right? He's not going to the NFL, is he?
No. I think Indiana wins, but I think that's too many points. I think it's closer to that opening margin of around 6.
Can't wait. Let's review it and review the Clemson-Miami basketball game when we visit next week.
Have a good one, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. Good stuff from Josh Williams. We'll come back. Jonathan's going to join us. We'll get our ReedyLanco.com hunting and fishing report at 8:05. Roy Philpott, the big dog, ESPN play-by-play voice, joins us. A lot to do when you come back right after this.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Strong candidates, the right fit awaits. Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Are you tired of searching for insurance on the web, only to be bombarded by emails and phone calls of companies that say they can save you money? Well, now you can make one phone call and let the Ben Mason Insurance Agency put together a comprehensive plan for either your auto, home, or life insurance. We can put together a plan for you to meet your budget. Call Ben or David at 864-578-7100 for your one-stop quote and personalized service. At the Ben Mason Insurance Agency, we put your needs first. Call today.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
New year, new goals, but pain shouldn't hold you back. Start 2026 feeling better with Ortho Laser Spartanburg. Our advanced MLS laser therapy reduces pain, decreases inflammation, and helps your body heal without drugs, shots, or downtime. Whether you're recovering from surgery, fighting chronic pain, or getting back into the gym, this is the year to take control. Make pain relief your first resolution. Schedule today at recoverwithlight.com and step into the new year feeling stronger.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Race with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Whether it's our famous glazed or one of our specialty donuts, we have something for everyone at work or at home. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Did you know that Ingles sells a huge variety of organic items? Or that they run their own dairy? Or that they only serve USDA Choice and Prime meat? Did you know that they have more local craft beer than any place else? Or that they have Energy Smart stores? Or that they professionally slice and package imported cheese from Europe? Did you know about their giant international aisle, local farm partnerships, curbside pickup, wine department? Or that they donate 3,956 meals a day to local food banks? Well, now you do. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
The Mickey Filer Show, forming the upstate since circa 1834. Dang, that is old. Monday through Friday, right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
I'm talking enough about the pre-construction services at Trail. This highly accurate cost models and project phasing plans, detailed logistics strategies. They make sure that the project begins with confidence at Trail. They do this meticulous planning and open communication with most advanced tools and technology and process to get the pre-construction services. You know, design build experience is great, and the cost-effective, high-performance building solutions. That's why they are the number one builder in the upstate of South Carolina and in Western North Carolina. The Better Building Experience is working. They're the leading commercial builder. Now they're in the residential stuff as well. And what you hear time and time again is that, you know, think about construction and it's, we're overpaying and it's going to be over budget and it's just not the facility that we got. Well, if you want to put all that to bed, then let's go with Trail. So it's going to be on time. It's going to be done on budget, and you're going to have a great experience, and the building's going to be exactly what they said it's going to be. So every single one of those projects turn out exactly like that. We love Trail, TREHEO.com, the Better Building Experience, 800-319-7006. I love telling the Trail story, like I love telling the ReedyLandCo.com story. This segment brought to you by the good folks at Reedy Land Co. And Jonathan Monska talks some small game hunting for us. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. I'm doing well.
Awesome. Now, when you say small game, it reminds me of the deal, the joke that you know, the difference in major surgery and minor surgery. Minors was when it's on you, major when it's on me. You know, small game. How small are we talking about here? What classifies, what goes into small game hunting?
Well, we're kind of in that limbo stage between deer season and duck season's about to wrap up, and turkey's just a couple months away. So it's a good time to get outside and enjoy a few different things like quail, rabbit, squirrel. Those are usually the main three. And you know, we've got quail that goes out March 1st, so you still got plenty of time for that, and you still got the end of March for rabbit and squirrel, so plenty of time to get outside and enjoy the property.
I've never been quail hunting. It doesn't sound like a fair fight sometimes, right? What do I need to know about quail hunting?
Yeah, so you know, usually you've got a couple of guys with guns, and you usually hopefully have at least one or two well-trained pointer dogs that will sniff out the birds. You know, typically quail are in a covey of maybe two or three, and the pointer dogs will try to get downwind of the quail, try to sniff them, and try to get as close to them as possible, and quite literally point onto the where they believe that the covey's sitting at, and hopefully not flush them up before you get there. If you've got a well-trained bird dog, they'll try to hold themselves back until you give them the okay to go ahead and take another step forward, and then they flush up.
All right, you're running these dogs out there. This is weather's a factor. I know, man. Duck hunting always is cold. Is weather a factor for the quails at all? Like cold, is it better in colder, better in warmer temperatures? Or early afternoon or late afternoon, maybe better, but the early mornings.
I would say the biggest factor is to have a nice little breeze. I mean, obviously, you know, for a hunter's comfortability, you don't want to necessarily be walking around in the rain too much. You know, you'll be walking through some underbrush. That's where quail like to hide. They like to hide in thick underbrush, stuff like that, whether it's a big pine savanna or whether it's just some scrub that hasn't been touched in a couple of years, and you've got briars and all that good stuff. So, you know, it's a little bit of a demanding hunting experience. It's not like you're sitting in a blind or a deer stand and you're waiting for something to come out. You kind of have to take a little bit more on the offensive approach. But, you know, like I say, the dogs really work well when you've got a little bit of a breeze to where they can smell where those birds are at. If there's not much of a breeze or the wind's just swirling in all kinds of directions, it's really tough for the dogs to work, and it's really tough for them to figure out exactly where that covey might be. And either yourself or the dog might accidentally flush something up when you know, nobody realized that they were in a different area.
All right, Jonathan, I know nothing about it. When I think of quail hunting, I think of like pointers, like a Boykin Spaniel kind of deal. Am I on the right scent there with that kind of dog? Is that the dogs you hunt with here?
You can. There's a few different types. You know, I know a guy, he actually uses a golden retriever. So, you know, I don't know if it matters so much on the dog species as much as having him or her be well-trained in whatever type of hunting you're doing. So just when I thought I've seen it all, I saw something else. So it is pretty impressive, regardless of the species.
But now, in rabbit hunting, that's beagles, I know. Any other dogs we take rabbit hunting besides the little beagles?
I have not seen that. You know, maybe the next step for this gentleman is to train his golden retriever to go hunt rabbits too. I don't know. Then I'll see something new, I suppose. But rabbit hunting and beagles, you know, very similar to quail to a degree, where you know the rabbits are generally hiding and maybe underneath a log or in a little burrow or in the brush or something like that, and the beagles are sniffing. You know, usually you'll have at least a six or eight group of beagles that are working, and they're constantly barking and howling, and you know, you'll know when they find one, when they really pick up and start howling, and it's pretty exciting. You know, around here we've got two different types of rabbits. We've got the marsh rabbit, usually referred to as nicknamed the blue rabbit, and you've also got the eastern cottontail. And the cottontails, they'll usually come back around in a circle. So sometimes if you see the rabbit go off in a far distance and they're being chased by the beagles, usually rule of thumb is they'll try to make a circle and come back to roughly where they began. That's just kind of in their DNA. And whereas the marsh rabbit, they'll kind of take off and they're much faster, and they'll just kind of take off to the next place. If you can't get them on the first shot or two, then you're probably going to have to wait a little bit to catch back up with them. And so then of course we've got some squirrels as well. That just like you see in your yard jumping from tree to tree, you just kind of walking through the woods. You might have some beagles that are chasing the squirrels and run them up a tree. Sometimes you'll see them just jumping from limb to limb or tree to tree. And of course you've got some dogs that may chase them up there as well.
You know, one of the most fascinating things about hunting to me is that in so many of the different types of hunts, it's quiet, man. You got to be so still. Like these turkey hunters are pride themselves on being so camouflaged and they're so still and something. You know, deer hunters, man, we're just so quiet. And yet you like a beagles with this rabbit hunting, man, like that's the loudest thing you're going to hear. Like just going, you know, sound's not an issue there, I guess. Am I on the right page there?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't. it's you hit the nail on the head. You know, each depending on what you're hunting, it's a very different approach and tactic. You know, you don't necessarily have to be, you know, super quiet like you would be for deer hunting or turkey hunting. You know, you're walking through the woods with, you know, hopefully a few buddies or family members or whatever, and you know, you can chit chat. You know, just normal talking tone, not necessarily shouting, but you don't have to be whispering by any means, anything like that. So it is pretty neat to see what different types of approaches depending on what you're hunting.
All right, and ranking the three small games we talked about, quail, rabbit, and squirrels, as far as what we're going to put on the grill, I'm not going to eat squirrels. Sorry. rabbit maybe, am I right? Quail might be the best of the three.
I've had all three. I would say my favorite is probably quail, just because I've had it more often.
Yeah.
But there's certainly something to be said about a rabbit. It's very tender. You could, you know, they're just like all kinds of wild game. There's a million different ways to prepare it. But you know, rabbit, you just don't see it too often. You know, most folks are going bird hunting, whether it be dove, duck, quail, whatever, you know, so they usually have a little bit bigger stash of that kind of meat more than rabbit. But if you get the chance to try a rabbit out, I would highly suggest it. It's very tender. The squirrel, you're gonna have to do a lot of work to clean it for a little bit of meat, so and it's usually a little more tough, and you've got to put it in a crock pot and kind of let it tenderize itself. And so it's a lot more work for a squirrel. It's still good, but you do have to work a little bit harder than the other two.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you talk. You can talk me a lot of stuff, Jonathan, with hunting and trying new things and all that. She's not going to talk me to a squirrel. Sorry. A rat with a bushy tail. I'm not going that route there. I was online last night looking at properties, and, man, this is the pictures of some of these. I was looking at the Arrowhead Lake in Jonesville, and the one up in the mountains of North Carolina, the 6 mile stuff on the lake here. Man, there's just some amazing properties that I noticed online. Tell us about Reed Land Co. and some great stuff going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this morning we've got a little doubleheader for you. We've got two properties that you haven't actually seen on the website yet. They'll be up on the market next week. But we've got a 54-acre tract we call Sunset Ridge, just 10 minutes to Table Rock and Pickens. Beautiful, beautiful mountain views and hardwoods. It sits about 1,300 feet above sea level at the peak, and it is just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece. And then moving on over to Spartanburg County, just outside of Boiling Springs, we have a 47-acre tract on Lake Blaylock with pasture and managed timber in addition to the lakefront there. And it is also just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece. So really cool stuff that's coming down the pipe. So, you know, if you're in the position where you're thinking about buying, maybe you're thinking about selling, maybe you have some type of tax exchange, or you've inherited something and you just don't know what to do with it, we really enjoy, you know, talking with folks and understanding their situation and helping them evaluate their property, sell their property, you look for stuff. You know, just like these two I mentioned, you know, you don't see stuff online all the time. So if there's something that you're looking for, we might have a answer right out of the gate for you. So we'd welcome a call, and we look forward to hearing what you got.
Look forward to hearing from all those folks. You can go to ReedyLandCo.com to check out those properties, learn more about what they do and how they do it, and maybe, you know, be a buyer or seller with these good folks, ReedyLandCo.com. Jonathan, again, good luck. You eat all the squirrels. I'll take the quail leftovers. I'll take the rabbit leftovers. But hope you guys stay warm this weekend too, buddy.
That's awesome. Yes, sir. Well, y'all take care, and always a pleasure.
All right, me too. Jonathan Montz from ReedyLandCo.com, our hunting and fishing report. Sam, you had quail before?
I can't say I have. No.
It's okay. It's okay. Like anything else, you gotta season it right. Have you had rabbit before?
No, I haven't. I'm not a big. I haven't gone for the it's small okay. game.
It's okay. And I know you hadn't had squirrel. I've never had squirrel. I'm not gonna have it.
Oh. I have not dove into the small game market.
No. But you know, you wouldn't know. I mean, quail. You if you prepared right and seasoned right and all that, you'd be fine. And same thing with rabbit. But man, I don't know. I don't know how you can make a squirrel.
Every time I think of like small game, like eating that kind of stuff. Now I think of like the Xavier Leggett video where he's eating raccoon in the locker room.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get all the reporters to eat it. And he's got his accent. And he's like, I tell you, it's good. I promise.
Yeah.
Would not do it.
Jeff and Manny says, the thing about squirrels, you got to eat like 50 to get full. Yeah, and you're only harvesting a little bit of meat on there. Same thing with like the dove meat. Like it's just a small little breast that you're harvesting through all that. So it's not that. And the texture makes a point that all hunters make. This is 9866. Says that bacon-wrapped quail on the grill is a delicacy.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, but here's the deal. Bacon-wrapped mud is good. I mean, you put bacon on anything.
Is it the bacon or is it the quail?
Right, it's the bacon.
Is the bacon just carrying the quail and the quail's just kind of there?
Right,
or
yes.
Is the quail helping out in this situation?
Yes, that's exactly right. Y'all said the communication of the dog, verbal or nonverbal, when they want to flush. I should have asked that one. But, yeah, good stuff, man, good stuff. Texas says, squirrel with grits, yum. I don't know, man. I don't know. Texas said, my grandma used to make squirrel and dumpling outstanding. Look, feed it to me, but don't tell me that's what it is. Right? Because I don't want to know if it's squirrel. When we come back, we're going to find out. Where's Roy Philpott been? He's been all over the world broadcasting games. We'll get with him after missing for a few weeks and also talk about the national championship game and get his thoughts on a couple other things, including weather. You don't want to miss it. Hour number three kicking off when you come back right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if